Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This week we're with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Hello and welcome on this beautiful fall day in Bloomington.
Good to be with you as always, Joe. Thanks so much.
Don't forget you can submit your questions to Mayor Hamilton or any of our mayors to news@indianapublicmedia.org. You can also tweet us at Ask the Mayor. Let's just start with the city budget recently passed for 2023. It's $129 million. But it's without some raises for some of the union employees. So was wondering, no, those are still under negotiations. Do you have any update on that?
Well, first, thanks. It was a really big day passing the budget unanimously by the city council. So I'm very pleased with that. It's a transformative budget. I've talked about that before, that is really helping us invest in major ways in our people, our employees, and our community with sustainability and public safety and housing and bus transit and our climate action plan and so many good things. So I'm really pleased with that budget. You did indicate we are every few years we negotiate labor contracts. We have three different labor organizations, and this year we're negotiating with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, all often known as AFSCME. And we have not concluded negotiations yet, so they don't go in the budget until we conclude. But I expect we'll conclude them before the end of the year. We sure hope so. And we've had, I think, a dozen meetings. And it should get resolved, and then we'll go back to council to appropriate the money for that.
I know it was about 175 employees. And during the public comment, they asked if the city wanted to see maintenance technicians walk off their jobs. City hall employees are getting two $500 bonuses. Why are they upset?
Well, look, I am so proud of what our employees do. We have 800 plus employees, and they've been fantastic, as they typically are, but particularly through the pandemic, it's been really a dramatic challenge. And we are incredibly lucky as members of Bloomington community to have such a dedicated workforce. We have done in the non-union side some very substantial benefits, some of which will go to union members. For example, the two $500 bonuses are going to go to everybody next year, virtually everybody. And then we're doing a bunch of other things to increase the, I guess I'd put it this way, we want to be an employer of choice. And that's really important these days. And we're working really hard to make sure everybody's treated well and with respect and well-trained. And again, they do a great job serving our community.
Budget is up about $22 million from last year. I believe most of that due to the local income tax increase. So people are paying more in taxes. Are they getting more back?
They absolutely are, Joe. That, you know, we talked about that in the spring when we passed the local income tax, and I made the case and the council agreed unanimously that these were critical investments. And they, for example, they pay for substantial investments in public safety. Police, fire, equipment, salaries, benefits, facilities. So that's a huge investment. They pay for almost $4 million a year new for our transit system. We have a great transit system, but we are going to be one of the best in the country, actually, as we move forward with the new bus rapid transit system and micro transit and Sunday service and more frequent service. Now, that all takes a little time, but one of the first things that happened after we put this budget in place was our bus system got an $8 million federal grant to buy more electric buses. So, you know, we've already seen the benefits, and people are going to see that as we go forward. We're going to have, for example, $1 million a year for housing investment. We never had that before. We're going to have $1.6 million a year for investing in our climate action plan to put teeth into that so that we can actually move forward with it. So I'm really pleased with it, and it's going to make our city a much brighter place in the future.
All right, let's get to the convention center expansion project. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago Friday, the city posted a Facebook entry saying the city would move forward with the expansion since talks with the county calling it dead. Mm-hmm. So this is the time, I think, you know, with everything that's been going on, I can just ask, what the heck is going on?
Well, look, you know, we've been working for 6 years on a convention expansion. And we've taken two swings at it, basically, I would say. One, for a long time, we worked toward getting a capital improvement board and a joint project, and we weren't able to land that. That was right before the pandemic. We couldn't get that done. Just recently, over the last 3 or 4 months, with support from the Chamber of Commerce, we've proposed a different way forward, where the transfer could happen from the county to the city, and we could move forward with it. And they didn't want to go that way either. So that's what concluded that offer. We made kind of an offer, and the county didn't seem interested in it. So, look, I'm actually quite optimistic, though, Joe. I think the city is in a position to move forward, fully collaborating with everybody. I mean, county commissioners, county council, city council, chamber of commerce, the whole public to move this forward. But we may just do it in a slightly different way from a capital improvement board. We have the site that's ready. We have a good design that's kind of outlined. We have the funding that's been in place since 2017. And the city's ready to move forward. So we're still working out some of the details, but we basically took two swings at it. They didn't work. So we'll take another cut at it. And I think we have a good chance of making it move forward. And it's really important for the city. Our convention center is old. It's small. Many people want to come here to Bloomington. And between Sunday and Thursday, we really could use some more visitors who can help support our arts and our restaurants and our nightlife and all the things going on downtown. So we'll see what happens next. We need a few weeks to kind of plot out another approach, but it will be very inclusive, very consistent with what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, and I've obviously been covering this for a while.
Understand
the frustration. One point I wanted to zero in on or ask about was that CIB, because I know you said that kind of dropped off. The pandemic hit. Everything stopped at that point. But it does seem like what I'm hearing from the commissioners that they do want to go back to that together.
Well, the commissioners have expressed a lot of different things. They've expressed a lot of doubt about the whole convention center, and that's fine. I think, you know, it's not unanimous. There are people in the community who aren't in favor of it. And I think the commissioners have expressed that they're not sure about it. And so that viewpoint is fine, but the problem with the CIB approach is that gives that viewpoint a veto over anything that happens. So under a capital improvement board structure, the commissioners have the right to say no at any point along the process. And if they're not committed to it, and I think they do have doubts, and again, that's fine that they have doubts, but we need to move forward with a team that is committed to success and committed to making it happen, and we can do that in full consultation with everybody, including people who don't think it's a good idea, and again, that's fine, but the CIB makes that structure inherently. You have people who have doubts about the program who can veto it at any point along the way, and that's just very hard to get a big project done that way.
Last question on this. How would that work? I think when people read that Facebook post, and some media has been covering this, including us, thinking that there could be a separate convention center across the street from the current convention center. That doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, you know, you really just think about it as two buildings. There are always going to be two buildings. Whoever oversees it and owns it, and one thing I think we'd be very committed to is having an integrated management. You really just need one person to book the conferences and to oversee the facility operations and such. And it's really just two separate buildings. But we need a new building. We need a bigger building, a better building to help our downtown thrive. And I want to make sure that gets done in an excellent way, in an efficient way, and in a timely way. So we're going to be looking at options for how to make that happen.
But if you need that, you need parking, hotels.
Well, interesting, Joe, if you look at the site that we're talking about, which is immediately north of the current convention center, there's a big parking garage right to the east. There's a big hotel right to the north and right to the south. So it may well be we can move forward with an expansion that does not need those pieces because they're right there. Now, over the next 10 or 20 or 30 years, you could have some more things happening.
Let's move on. City Plan Commission held a first hearing on rezoning land the county wants to use for a new jail. There's some environmental considerations, side access, but no bus lines. Moving the jail from downtown, just curious your thoughts on that and that process that's happening right now.
Well, first, I have toured the jail and we need a new jail. Our current jail is a stain, frankly, on our county because the conditions there are not appropriate. They don't reflect who we are and our values, and they're not treating people well. We are not, as a county. And I'm a county resident, and I care deeply about that. So I absolutely support the importance of improving the criminal justice system with a different jail. Now, and where that is, I've been very clear, let's just let this process run. Let's look, do the kind of regular stuff that we do on location. Things that leave downtown, they could have a negative impact on downtown, but I'm trying to keep an open mind about that and let the process run. we'd like to be at the table, maybe a little more, but the most important point I want to make is this. We as a county have many, many millions of dollars in American Rescue Plan Act and new local income tax coming into the county. And I think we need to improve our services right now as we're building a new jail. I think that we have the opportunity to invest more in mental health services and substance use disorder services. And a lot of what we're seeing in our community is people who are kind of bouncing in and out of the criminal justice system, and the jail is not a place to get well. And we need to do better on that. So I think we need to do both. I think we need to look at a new jail, figure out where it should be, what should be there, and I think that process is underway. But at the same time, I think we need to seriously invest in more mental health services and more substance use disorder. You probably know Indiana is at virtually the bottom of public health spending in the country per capita. Maybe we're going to get some more from the state government, but we need to do more locally too on those issues to help our people get better lives.
That's the same answer every mayor gives on this show to that question. Terre Haute just built a new jail down by their mall area, moved it from downtown as well. So it's very interesting. Something we haven't talked about in a while, but Mary emailed in, and she's concerned about the growing numbers of deer in southeast Bloomington. There was a deer task force formed many years ago. They made recommendations such as allowing higher fences. Have any of these recommendations been acted upon? And any updates on deer?
Well, thanks for the question. You know, this was an issue when I ran for mayor 7 years ago, and there were two deer questions, right? One was the deer question at Griffey Lake, which was the impact on our nature preserve, and the other was the deer question inside the city and in our neighborhoods. And the Griffey Lake, we've moved forward, and we are protecting our nature preserve, and it's doing really well. I think inside the city, the kind of the urban deer, as we call them, issue is still unsettled. I have seen some recent data, and there's a report, I think, that's either out or coming out soon, that's looking again at the data, what that's telling us is going on. It is, I believe, true in the southeast quadrant is where we're seeing the most deer-human interactions, deer-car interactions, if you will, that kind of thing. There are some changes in our rules for fencing that have come. But I do think, as a community, we still need to decide how do we want to manage this. And my approach has always been, it may be different in the southeast side of the city than the northwest side of the city, or on IU campus versus not. And this is not a uniform impact in our community, so I'm encouraging neighborhood groups to weigh in on that. And the city council, I know, is interested too, so I wouldn't be surprised if city council takes up this issue.
Thanks, Mary, for your email. I wanted to ask about e-scooter companies. The city asked to stop their service from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Are the companies complying, and what's the feedback been?
Yeah, the companies are complying, so far as I know. We've just put that in place recently with them, telling them we think this is a prudent thing to do. You probably know, I've been generally a fan of alternative transportation, having ways for people to get around our community, whether it's walking or biking or scootering or skateboarding or all these other ways people get around the community. And scooters, we've had over, I think, 1.2 million rides of scooters in the city, so people are using these a lot. But we have noticed, of course, we had a very tragic fatality of a solo rider in August along 10th Street. A student who died from a scooter accident, and then we had a scooter rider who was basically run over by a apparently criminal act. It's under the criminal justice system, which was a terrible tragedy too. Between 11 and 5, we've looked at other cities as well. That we feel like that may be a good step to try to protect safety. Those two incidents, for example, happened around 2 a.m. Scooters are less essential for transportation back and from classes. So we're kind of trying it out as a pilot. It's not a curfew. For example, if you own your own scooter, you're allowed to use it whenever you want. But it's just working with these companies to try to see if this will help improve safety and the overall effectiveness of the program.
I know we're running out of time. I wanted to ask you, and I just heard this on the way over, so I don't know if you know anything more. Is there an annexation hearing scheduled Friday? And is the city part of that?
I do know, Joe, that the annexation lawsuits are proceeding. There may be a hearing Friday. We are in two different lawsuits, and I don't know for sure, but I have no reason to doubt that there may be a hearing. I don't think we're going to be at a dispositive point yet. I hope they will move forward with some dispatch, but we have two different lawsuits that are proceeding forward.
Early voting is open, so go vote, huh?
Please go vote. I haven't voted yet. I will, I think, before voting day, full election day, but please vote, get involved. The city's doing great, but we need everybody to step in. There's a lot of important races, and get your vote counted. If you do it early, you know it's done. And actually, one of the benefits is people may stop calling you and knocking on your door if you want, you know, once you get voted. So,
did you have any announcements or last word from the mayor?
Well, Joe, I'm really pleased. I think since we met, we had a regional climate summit, regional climate convening, which was really important. Proud worked with Columbus and Brown County and us to bring 100 people together to work on how are we going to address climate. And then actually that same week, we had another big event for the city, which was groundbreaking for the fiber infrastructure. So actually all through the city, we're now starting to see fiber getting put down, and it's going to be a really transforming thing for our community.
And we were there covering that too.
You were.
Appreciate your time. Thanks so much. We'll see you next month.
Thank you, Joe.